Okay. Okay, so right now we have Professor Gronau here, and we have our famous ASSD questions for him after he delivered a very interesting and wonderful presentation. So the first is a very general question. What are autonomous systems for you, and what is self-determination?
Well, autonomy is when an artificial system is able to make decisions considering its environment and act based on these decisions. And this is our concept of autonomy and self-determination. That is quite, in my opinion, a human concept. I don't think that machines like the elements in a factory have a self-determination. Of course, they have goals because they have to follow the overall goal of the factory. To manufacture a very good quality of products and so on, they have goals, but self-determination, I don't think they have it for now.
Then the second question would be, is the relation between autonomous technical systems and human? Is the relation between autonomous technological systems and human societal self-determination a zero-sum game? So should we see autonomous systems maybe in our daily lives as well as in this industry background as a substitution or an augmentation of human decision making? So would you say the more autonomous technological systems are, the less self-determination humans can have, or does it both increase, or is it specific to
Well,
certain?
in my opinion, it should be clear who is the master and who is the so-called slave or servant. And the technical systems have to be always the servant. And when I'm looking at the state we have reached for now, it's I can't see very. I'm not very much impressed by the progress these artificial systems have made. Well, when I'm looking at autocomplete, when I'm typing something, it's stupid. Also, after 100 repeated greeting formulas in my email, the system don't even understand that I'm addressing always the person who gives me the email with "Hello, Mr." or "Hello, Mrs." and then there should be its na his or her name. So we are in a very early state. It might be possible that there might be a situation where the systems, the artificial systems, are getting more intelligent and people, humans, might be frightened of the behavior, of the decisions, of what the artificial system consists. That would be dangerous, I think. That would be dangerous because we want to have nice, friendly, helpful systems, but we want to have the last word in these things.
So, but and what would you say to, for example, if someone would argue, well, it's really great if those systems are really autonomous, so I can just say, be my household robot, and the thing is very autonomous, so I can spend more free time. So would
For
this be an
instance.
example where you still have the human as saying what should happen, but the autonomy is then useful,
Yes.
but never goes against the
Yeah,
user?
absolutely. It should follow the three laws of Isaac Asimov,
Yes, okay.
the robotic laws, of course.
Yes, right.
And we are now in the area where we have to discuss it. We have cooperative robots and that are able to do harm for humans, and we have to implement hardly to very hard implement these rules or these laws into mm-hmm. into the behavior yeah. of the robots. But the household robots are quite nice things, mm-hmm. and they are even mourned when they are broken. you see, there is also some kind of making it human or making it living, a living thing when it is no living thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, but that's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. It tends in another direction when it tries the thing tries to control the human. Then mm-hmm. there's the line that cannot be crossed.
Okay.
In my opinion.
So and if I have understood you correctly, so that means we are not there yet, so we still have time to think about that.
Yeah.
So
it's we should think about it.
Yes. Okay.
And mm-hmm. we should see where is that line and how can we make sure that that line is never crossed, or mm-hmm. when that line is crossed, because the accumulation of behavior improvement in mm-hmm. artificial systems is astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen when that line is crossed one day?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we make the humans able to withstand
mm-hmm.
this line crossing? Yeah.
And who would you think would have an interest in building such systems that cross the line? I mean, they don't build themselves, so if
well, we see in we discussed during the presentation or after the presentation, we discussed the warehouse example,
mm-hmm.
where we have a nearly totally completely automated warehouse mm-hmm. facility, and we have some people that are working there, and I can imagine a scenario
mm-hmm.
that the warehouse control software
mm-hmm.
sees that some people are not doing their best,
mm-hmm.
and say, Mr. X, could you please move faster? And the next step would be there would be some punishment for not moving faster. And so in that area, we are very near to that line, I think.
Okay, so that means, if I understand correctly, that means it's not really someone wants this to happen, but it's more a combination of factors.
Yeah,
so this will happen, and then we have to be careful that the complexity doesn't make this happen somehow.
Yeah, this is one fact. And who I don't think somebody wants to have this happen or let this happen by purpose, but
mm-hmm.
it can happen when we follow other goals, like being more efficient in the factory, being more productive in the factory, and that's very easy for some artificial intelligence entity to find out that Mr. Grunau is not behaving to the best of the factory goals.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I see. That's kind of the how's it called, like a stapler, the stapler.
The, yeah. The forklifter driver. Yeah. He makes a short break, and of course the software sees that and says, well,
productivity loss. So
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's very near. That is not far away. So we have to take this into account, and I think the solution should be the software should know that the forklifter driver is entitled.
Yeah.
To some minutes of break
yeah.
and to some different ways how he cruises through the warehouse, and then the software will be satisfied.
Yeah. That's quite interesting that you so you say we should not pay attention to those world dominating artificial intelligence, but to say, yeah, this is far in the future, but pay attention to the workers that will be kind of bullied, or that will be
absolutely.
Those will be the first ones
to
interesting. That's an interesting point. Okay. Okay, let's get to the third one, the last question. It's a bit more broad, intentionally. What are the necessary conditions for self-determination, the human self-determination, and self-determined decision making in a digital age where we are surrounded by digital systems? Maybe it's a little bit like the second one, but
I would say the humans should be qualified. I think it's a question of qualification and training and education to be able to see where is an artificial system of help,
mm-hmm.
where is it useful, where can it lead us further, make us better, and where is something where it is a nuisance or something that we don't want to have. And that might be different between different people.
Okay.
Because we did some research on people who were the whole day in augmented reality glasses to get some hints how to be more productive in picking goods in a warehouse. And some said, well, I don't like it. Please put it away. I get headache from that. But most of the people astonishingly said, we like it. It makes the work for us much easier. We don't want to work without that augmented reality glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And that was astonishing for me. But
okay.
For them, it was helpful. And
okay, yeah. So that's what you're saying is, if we say those systems will make things better, we actually have to ask people and have to pay attention
yeah.
to what better means. So there
yeah.
are different understandings and
yeah.
different
yeah.
regimes of optimization.
Yeah.
And those, of course, have to then be negotiated, or how do we deal with those differences?
Ideally, the system adapts to the style of the human. The system finds out what is what the human wants and gives what the human wants, but does not give more other than the human asks for it.
So in a simple way, like you have the tables with the different height, and so whenever another user comes,
yeah.
it's like the ideal
yeah.
height somehow,
yeah.
but
yeah.
in a much more
yeah.
complex way than...
If everybody is sitting on the same table, it's a little bit difficult.
Yeah, right. yeah, right.
Then the table will be adjusted to the height of the CEO, but
maybe.
But in work systems, we can adjust also the behavior of the artificial system to the individual predicament of the people, of the person. And I think that will not be a constant,
mm-hmm.
but what we see in our research, we do a lot of research with people from the unions that represent workers in the Metal Workers Union, for instance, and their behavior and also their understanding of technology changes after usage. So it's not constant,
yes,
but
right.
when they use it, first they are very reluctant and see they're very careful, and second time they are more bold, and third time they are more controlling and demanding, and so mm-hmm. so we will see, we need different ramp up processes.
Right.
But individualized,
mm-hmm.
of course. And that when the artificial system gets individualized or is able to make individualized ramp up processes for support, possible, then it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but so that means those systems have to be more dynamic and always depending on the people, but also on the other hand, the people have to be educated and also empowered to actually
yeah.
be able to choose and to
yeah.
say, no, I don't want to use this
yeah.
system, but I'd rather use
yeah.
system. This helps me more in
yeah.
my task.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, then thanks a lot for the answers and the interesting talk.
Thank you very much for the nice and really brain-turning on questions. Very good. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. Obviously, it's a win-win-win situation
yeah.
when we discuss fruitfully.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks
Thank
a lot.
Thank you.